Good morning, Western Kentucky athletics fans. This is Ed Marlowe, host of the For Those Who Inquired podcast. And with me on this lovely Monday morning, Neilium Bradley.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy. How are you, man?
I'm not real happy right now, Ed.
Yeah. Let me know why. What's up?
Well, you could probably think of all sorts of reasons that I'm not happy, right?
The Cardinals didn't go 3-0 this weekend.
I didn't like that, but that's not it.
I'm gonna need some clarifications.
Today, at reviews.org, the most overrated TV shows according to every state.
Okay.
I can't believe the number of states that have Parks and Rec. Missouri, Kansas, what in the heck is up with you? Ohio. I used to live in Ohio. Minnesota, Oregon, I get that. New Mexico, come on. Breaking Bad, they're watching that all the time.
That's
anything
that's true.
Where they're not making meth, I get that they're probably not going to watch it.
Right.
And then Colorado, they got the other things kind of going on there too.
Yeah.
So I do get that. And then The Office, which is also maybe my second show, Michigan, of course.
Yeah.
It's Michigan.
Of course.
Michigan being Michigan, but Pennsylvania? Virginia hates The Office. Louisiana, what's up?
What's Kentucky's overrated show?
Sort of shocked, but not, because I know a lot of people don't like it. Kentucky and Tennessee, they're on the same page here, along with North Carolina, and it's Game of Thrones.
Oh,
you're okay there until you realize you're with Florida. You know, hey, a guy in Florida, a woman in Florida,
yeah,
and that's who we're in company with.
Yeah, but they can't count anyway.
So that's not good.
Yeah,
that isn't good at all.
Not ideal. I will say the last season of Game of Thrones was between middling and disappointing in certain spots. It just was rushed. You know, you could tell. You could just tell the last three or four episodes, they're like, all right, the heck with this. We're done.
It's amazing how many shows do that. Community?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Then the last two, next to last season was like, and then the last season, like, just give up.
Yeah.
Just don't do this anymore.
Yeah.
But it happens to a lot of shows.
Well, it's what happens when you sign a really long contract and you're in, you know, you're 37 years old. You know,
right.
That's a sports reference, of course, but it's true. You get to that sunset era and you're just like, it's senioritis.
Yeah.
You know, this is my last year. I'm good to go. I'm done.
I used to love, you know, CSI. Loved it.
Yeah.
But finally, they just kind of, okay, I've kind of seen this before. Okay, I've kind of seen that before.
Right.
Odd ways that somehow CSI comes into solving crimes. And I really loved the stuff, but it kind of wore after, you know, several seasons. I liked it for several seasons. Even it kind of like, okay, kill this thing off.
It's all about fresh ideas. And sometimes when you just run out of fresh ideas, but you've already signed a contract,
right,
you have an obligation. You're just like, well, we're just going to jump the shark.
Are we going to be doing this a few years from now? People are going to say, just pull the plug, you morons.
Well, we've already jumped.
Come on.
We've jumped the shark several times.
Okay.
We've jumped like sharks with like cowboys that are saddled up on the shark. We've jumped over that a couple of
times. The sharks are trying to get to the beach and just die.
Yeah.
With us on them.
Yeah.
That's how, like, you know, whatever.
And we're still just hanging out with them.
Sorry, Ed. I'm sorry I took over. It's your show now, but I was peeved at this.
No, you're
not real happy when you're coming at Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Neil, I want this to be this is going to be similar to our other show. Not too much is going to change. I may prompt some things, but I clearly want the dynamic of you and I to magically still exist. There's a beautiful union here, and we must embrace it. Speaking of a beautiful union, let's talk a little bit about Ja Morant and Cameron Payne. Both young men playing NBA basketball in the bubble. And both have experienced two exhibition/scrimmage games for their programs. Ja Morant, of course, for the Memphis Grizzlies. Cameron Payne for the Phoenix Suns. Both teams kind of looking at a tough start in the win column. But both guys look like they're playing fairly well. Cam had 11 points, I believe, in the first game. Played, I want to say, anywhere between 20 and 25 minutes.
And it was shortened games.
Yeah.
40 minutes instead of 48.
Yeah, first game was shortened. Second game ramped up a little bit. Second game, he didn't shoot as well that first game. I think he shot 71% from the field. Really kind of got around and ran some of the offense. Game two, against the debatably best defense in the NBA with the Boston Celtics. He had 6 points, 4 rebounds, you know, a couple turnovers, shot 1 for 7. Mm-hmm. Didn't play as particularly well. But again, the Boston Celtics have one of the top three defenses in the NBA. But it looks like Cam, from what you can tell in these first couple of scrimmages, looks like he's probably going to get, at least in their eight games, I'd say anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes a game. And, you know, I mean, this is a guy that 2 weeks ago didn't have a job in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see any of the video on him at all. Did see some of Jaws, but didn't see any of Cam's. But Cam really earned this with the work that he's done. He's put in a lot of work in his game.
Yeah.
I think maybe humbled a little bit. Some of the flaws were pointed out, but he didn't mope and cry about it. He went and worked on his game, and it's paid off. And I think it'll, like you said, it'll continue to pay off. You got to get 10 or 15 minutes per game before you can get to 20, 25 minutes a game and so on. But here's at least another really good opportunity for him in the NBA.
Well, and I think the first thing that people have really started to notice, Neil, is just how healthy he finally looks. You know, you're seeing a guy that's confidently coming off screens. You're seeing a guy that's flaring out to the three-point line. You're seeing a guy that's driving to the basket. Yesterday, against Boston, mostly because Boston's defense is so good, he only took 1 3. He didn't force it up, tried to get in the paint and attack, and it didn't go well for him. But, again, Boston being one of the best teams in the NBA, he went and did other things and got 4 rebounds.
Right.
So, as far as Ja is concerned, that first game against Philadelphia, ooh, that first 15, 20 minutes, did you watch the Philly game at all?
I didn't watch it, no.
Yeah, I watched it. We'll get to baseball in a minute, and I know you've been really busy the last 3 days just soaking in the start of the Major League Baseball season. But Grizzlies.com has had both exhibitions for, you know, for Ja Morant and the Grizzlies online, and I've watched almost every minute. I missed half of the game yesterday. But it's easy to watch an exhibition while I'm working on some other things, and I've got kind of a two-computer system going on at home. And anyways, I have digressed. Ja against Philadelphia had 7 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, kind of was all over the place, doing a little bit of everything, didn't shoot very well. But again, Philly's Philly, and Philly is a tough matchup for anybody. They're one of the better three-point shooting teams. Ben Simmons hit a three. He's taken 7 all year. You know, and so, like, when he's hitting threes, it's Philly's almost impossible to defend. Joel Embiid, 7'2" center, hit 2 threes. Like, I mean, what do you do about that? I don't know. They were down big time against Philly and came back and got within 6 late. Again, I know it's an exhibition, but it was good to see. You could tell the Grizzlies were really kind of getting into this competitive, you know, swing of things again, and it was just, you know, it was inspiring to watch, honestly. They made a heck of a run in the second half, and then Game 2 on Sunday night, Ja had 17, 9, and 3, including 11 points in the third quarter against the Houston Rockets. Now, the Houston Rockets did manage to score. Neil scored 41 points in the fourth quarter to win the game. That's,
wow.
Well, the crazy thing about it is, I don't know how much you've seen about this, Neil, but the Houston Rockets have employed this neat concept, and you either like it or you hate it, one or the other, where they're playing small ball right now. They have removed a true center from their lineup. Their tallest guy that they're playing right now, Robert Covington, former Tennessee State star, traded for him from the Minnesota Timberwolves. And what they're doing is they're basically playing 5 men out, cut, kick for threes, or go to the basket for layups. And it's all they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's either it's feast or famine. It's either working, you know, because they do have two of the most prolific gifted scorers in the NBA in Russell Westbrook and James Harden and a bunch of three-point shooters around them, or it's not working and they break threes and they lose. So it's a, like I said, it's a feast or famine thing. Yesterday they hit 43%. So, you know, against the Grizzlies, hit 23 threes. So
wow.
It's just, but they took like 45. So it's just, you know, it's just what they do. All right, they took more than 40. They took like 52. It's just what they do. They take 50 threes, like more than half their shots are threes. So
I saw the Ja highlight video. Had I been, say, taking a long nap since March and woke up and didn't know anything and flipped on the TV, might have asked why they're playing on that court. Otherwise, it's like same old, same old. Didn't look like he had missed a beat at all.
The only thing that happened, and I know a lot of people commented on it, is he had a breakaway dunk where he kind of lost his hand on the grip of the rim,
uh-huh,
and he slipped and hit the deck, and he's done that a few times this season, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, like, you can't be a bull in a china shop, like, you're our pick, like, you're our guy, like, please stay healthy. But he just plays so relentlessly,
Yeah.
Like, relentlessly. Like, I mean, you and I have seen this now for 3 years, Neil. The amount of effort at which he plays, I don't... You saw him take, essentially, plays off in college basketball, but that's because he was playing, you know, 36 and a half minutes a game. But he just plays with so much speed, is really the way that I look at it. He had 3 steals in the first quarter, 11 points in the third, didn't score a lot in the fourth, but, I mean, again, he played his 26 minutes by then, and then they got down, like, I think they got down, like, 110, 101 with 3 minutes to go, and it's an exhibition. You pull the plug there, and you move on.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But you're right, Neil. You look at his game, just even in these last 2 exhibitions, and you haven't, I mean, a little rust because of the shooting, but, I mean, he shot 46% last night, 9 assists, 4 turnovers, 2-1. It's about what you got in a freshman slash rookie point guard. And yeah, I mean, you're right. Yeah, the effort is there.
Fun to watch, and likely watching the NBA Rookie of the Year here. It'll be interesting to see in all teams. You know, you're trying to get ready with your exhibition games, but when they get to the actual games that really mean something, what adjustments they'll make in terms of minutes for the players instead of the focus on getting ready. Then the focus turns to winning games.
Yeah, Tuesday, last exhibition for most programs in the NBA, including the Grizzlies. They'll be facing up against the Miami Heat. That'll be fun because they've got a lot of young talent as well, and Robinson and Tyler Hero. And
Bam Adebayo, who had tested positive for COVID. He and Nunn went through quarantine, so I'm not sure when they'll play, but they will be back.
Yeah, they will be back, but, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Nunn. Nunn was one of those guys early on that was probably in that Rookie of the Year conversation. If you looked at the rookie ladder, it was, you know, very likely before Zion came back, it was Nunn kind of right in that hunt behind him. And honestly, the way Tyler Hero had even played, you know, was kind of in that rookie ladder conversation. But, you know, it's really probably been Jaws from day one, but he had to go out and prove it. And, you know, I mean, he's done that. I think one of the guys also probably in that rookie ladder that doesn't get a lot of credit is Brandon Clark. I mean, and Brandon Clark.
Good year.
Well, not only is he having a good year, but, I mean, he's got a chance to break the rookie field goal percentage record. He's kind of in that conversation. I think the rookie record, I believe, is 61.4%. I was listening to the Memphis podcast or the broadcast yesterday. Which, interestingly enough, by the way, Pete Pranica and those guys have been recording and doing live stream. They have been watching it on their iPads in front of them while they're at FedEx Forum. They are not in the bubble, which is crazy to think. Like, Neil, that'd be like you sitting here right here in studio calling the Racers on your laptop through your studio. That's what they're doing right now because of this bubble situation.
Which I could do for radio, for TV, the lag. With our equipment, it is impossible to do that.
They're watching
Couldn't do it.
They're watching it live. It's unbelievable. Like, I'm watching them stream, and then we watch the stream. We watch the NBA.com, you know, telecast, whatever. They're streaming it free through Grizzlies.com, and that's what Pete Pranica and those guys, I think Chris Vernon in studio, you know, watching it as a color, they're all doing that way. It's getting it done. It's just, I'm just trying to imagine, like, what would it be like if you and Kenny Roth had to do that for men's basketball this year?
Again, I could do it. You have to have the reliability of the game. Sorry, production's down. We have no video.
Sorry, I'm buffering.
Then you're screwed.
I'm buffering.
Yeah. So, but long as it was a reliable thing, it could be done. I mean, that's how I've when I have people ask me how can I get better, younger kids.
Sure.
I tell he or she, whichever it may be, you just get the rosters, turn your TV down, and broadcast the game on TV. That's how you practice. I mean, I've sort of had to do that before when I have an upcoming game. I'll get a recording of another team, kind of go through it in my head. I really won't maybe do it out loud, but
sure.
So I'll have some idea of the players instead of getting there and like, I don't know who these guys are because that just helps me with my prep quite a bit.
Well, it's interesting. It was just interesting for me to see it. And just think, oh, well, if this is happening in the NBA, this isn't impossible at the college level if we get to that situation where it's like, well, we got to have the games, but we're not going to have people on the sidelines and things like that. And I've started to hear some of the protocols at the Division I and the Division II level. Like, how they might manage this going through Christmas. And if we're going to have a basketball season, I'm not going to rule it out. But I did immediately start thinking of, like, the commercials, the buffering jokes of, you know, let's say it's a tie game and Tevin Brown puts up a three and then it's like 99% buffering, buffering, buffering. Yeah. You and Kenny are just like, well, we're not sure if you made the shot yet. You know, oh, yeah. He made it. He won the game. And then there's all of a sudden this anticlimactic moment of, well, sorry, folks, we were buffering.
It could be, like I said, as long as you're getting a good video feed,
yeah.
You could do it. Post game, you could do it. Just call Matt on his cell phone.
Sure.
And Matt, ask him a few questions. You could call maybe Dave, hand it to one of the players of the game.
Yeah.
Ask them two or three questions. So it's totally doable.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't come to that. But
I do too.
It's a doable thing.
Yeah, it's a doable thing for a little while, but I agree. I hope it doesn't come to that.
It's for it would be for a good reason if they just said, in order to get control of this, here's what has to be done or we won't have it. So if that's the two choices, I don't have any problem with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of choices, what a great segue, because it looks like Adam Kunkel had a few choices to make over the last week.
Yeah. I had a lot of teams interested. I only know of like four actual offers, though.
Yeah, it looks like, so to speed everybody up a little bit, in case you were under a rock this weekend, or if you were just watching baseball, like most of us were, Adam Kunkel of the Belmont Bruins.
This is for those who inquired.
Yeah.
Some people wanted to know.
For those who inquired, absolutely. Adam Kunkel of Belmont has transferred to Xavier. Kind of surprising. Clearly he wanted to get closer to home. I mean, he's if I'm not mistaken, he's from Cooper.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations where Xavier is clearly closer to home. There's no, you know, it looks like he chose Xavier over Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Creighton. Creighton being the furthest away of those programs. Arkansas and Oklahoma, of course, would have been maybe a little closer, but not really now that I think about it.
Kentucky and Louisville had some early interest, but to my knowledge, they had no offers.
Yeah. From a numbers perspective, this is clearly a big change for Belmont and really the league. He's one of those guys that I thought after last season alongside Moose, Nick Mazinski, and Grayson Murphy really took off. You knew somebody was going to have to pick up some scoring load with Dylan Windler, you know, graduating and going to Cleveland, and he did that. My gosh! And I know Racer fans know he made the cutting pass to win the game, you know, in the OVC championship. So terrific player. Wish him the best. I do want to talk a little bit about his numbers, Neil. 39% from three on 213 attempts. This is a guy that, alongside Tevin Brown of Murray State, continued to push the three-point margin, you know, in the league, was one of the best three-point shooters in the league, not named Tevin Brown. 16.5 points per game, 2.6 assists, you know, and honestly was able to attack the basketball rim as well, you know, certainly had no problem putting it on the deck. And like I said, he was one of those guys that really took that big leap, and you thought he would have been in the conversation this year with your Terry Taylors, your Tevin Browns, maybe your KJ Williams. I'm trying to think. Jamaru Brown at EKU, Kunkel, Moose, you know, and probably even Grayson Murphy with the way that he fills the stat sheet. Those are kind of your elite guys, you know, in the OVC, you know, alongside, like I said, Tevin and KJ. And
I think Belmont can stand the loss of him. They lost Murphy. I don't think they could. They had slipped.
Let's talk a little bit about. I think people don't talk about Grayson Murphy enough.
I'm telling you, man, he does so many things.
Yeah,
it's stunning.
He might be, and again, I'm really, you know, Tevin Brown, right in that conversation of doing so many things. You know, there were two or three games last year where we saw KJ do so many things.
Yeah,
you know, but if you want to talk about a model of consistency. Not named Tevin, it's Grayson Murphy. And I'm going to put Terry Taylor in that conversation as well because he's an elite rebounder. I mean, he might, you know, even last year when, you know, Anthony Smith held him to 9 points in the season finale, he still had 11 rebounds. So, I mean, you want to talk a multitasker, Terry Taylor's in that conversation as well. But you are not wrong, Neil. Grayson Murphy does all the little things on top of the big things. The only thing that's a knock on Grayson Murphy is, strangely enough, his free throw shooting.
And normally that's a strength from that position.
Yeah. I think that that's probably just a matter of time one or two more years. Maybe he just, you know,
he can't get much
year.
Worse. He's not real good.
No, he's
in the 50s.
He's in the 50s. Yeah, and it's stunning. And it's not like in the 50s and he's only taking 40 a year. It's like in the 50s and he's taking like 100. Like he's taking a lot of attempts.
Really weird.
You know, because he's a physical guy. He's getting steals, assists, rebounds. He's getting fouls. He's drawing fouls and he's clamoring for them. And he's just not converting at the free throw line. It's the one place that if he were to fix that, if he were to get in even the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Neil, he'd be averaging 11, 9, and 8. And it'd be silly.
Yeah.
From that position. Being, what is he, 6'2", 175?
Yeah. I mean, if
he's not even that big.
You look at the numbers and look at the player and you're like, no. Belmont's obviously lying on the stat sheet.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't the case. Mm-mm. They're not. Because he has the same stats when he comes on the road. I mean, he's a lot of fun to watch when he's not going against you.
Yeah.
Because he's just so many things you like a player to be. Defense, rebounding, hustle plays, just really clever, and just a lot of things that I really like watching with him. They'll miss Kunkel some, but I think they can take up that offense from somebody. They have enough shooters.
Well, I'm sure more will come of it. It didn't look like in his statement, and again, I'm not one to judge. I'm not a Belmont beat reporter. It's not my place to question those types of things. I will say it's surprising, but I'm sure he and Casey Alexander had those conversations, and Kunkel wanted to get closer to home, and that's his choice. You know, it's your choice to leave. It's unfortunate for the OVC. Personally, I love this league. I like seeing talent come from it. But, you know, this is a new opportunity for Adam Kunkel. I do believe, since Casey Alexander is not a major quick change at the coaching position and Travis Steele is still at Xavier, I would have to think Kunkel has to sit a year.
Yeah, that's what the report said.
That's what I thought.
And that was from Xavier.
Yeah, he'll sit a year. So he's going to spend this next year and probably
I said Xavier is from the Cincinnati radio station that covers Xavier.
Yeah, no, that's just as accurate, I would imagine. So I'm going to sit here and, you know, we'll see Adam Kunkel down the road. And I would imagine you got to think, you know, from a local standpoint, Kiki Tandy is on that team from Hopkinsville, played at UAJ. That'll be a fun little backcourt in the next couple of years. So going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out. Speaking of doing it all over the floor, doing a lot of crazy things, Graves County's Chris Vogt has withdrawn from the NBA draft. He had put his name in early before all the COVID situation had kind of happened, you know, or was not necessarily clear. You know, I mean, you already canceled the NCAA tournament, but, you know, he plays for Cincinnati, had been at NKU, went with his coach John Brannon to Cincinnati, and probably took one of the biggest leaps in the country percentage-wise as far as just amount of production. Went from averaging close to 4.5 points per game at NKU, got immediate eligibility status at Cincinnati, averaged 11 points, 5.9 rebounds on 65% shooting last year. And also 1.6 blocks per game. Also increased his free throw percentage from around 30 to 35% to 57%. So he's making one of two.
Right.
Oh, by the way, he's a 7-2 center. Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, now, was he going to go in the NBA draft? Probably not. That's probably why he withdrew his name. But it's significant American athletic conference news because what he does for Cincinnati there in the middle, he's been running the floor a heck of a lot better these last couple of years. He is in impeccable shape. I don't know if you've seen a picture of him.
I've not.
Within the last, you know, 12 months, Neil, but he is in incredible shape. Has completely, you know, bulked out his 7'1 frame to almost 230. 240, kind of in one of those brick wall modes now. And when you average 1.6 blocks per game, on top of the offensive prowess that he started to showcase for Cincinnati, he's completely changed himself. So, I mean, if he's in range of 11 and 6 on 65% and 1.6 blocks in 2020-2021, yeah. You know, will the NBA come calling with that size? Potentially. He's kind of more of the old school enforcer, if you think about it, like the true center. You know, 2 days ago we saw DeAndre Ayton, you know, formerly of Arizona, now with the Phoenix Suns. Of course, watching him with Cam and, you know, and Devin Booker, and he's hitting threes now. So right. Will Chris Vogt have to step out and hit some threes? Maybe later on down in his career, possibly if he's going to go the NBA route. But as of right now, I mean, he is a problem to deal with in the post. And we haven't really seen. I mean, when's the last time you saw a big man be that big of an enforcer at any level, really? I mean, I'm trying to think of the last time that you just had a. I mean, I'm not saying Chris Vogt's the last, you know, the next big enforcer. I'm just right. saying that position has evolved so much in college basketball.
Well, there are no centers anymore. I asked Matt jokingly, he says, you know, they do the 1 through 5. Who's the center? He goes, we have no center. You can't recruit. If you tell a kid you're recruiting them as a center, they won't come. It's like, so I'm like, okay.
It's like saying if I'm recruiting you as a fullback, you're not coming.
I'm not a center.
Yeah.
I'm a power, okay, power forward. All right, whatever.
That's hilarious.
It's like,
I guess power forward's like telling a kid, we'll let you stretch out and shoot threes, but not really.
I had one Murray State, I won't identify him because he told me in confidence, but one Murray State football coach many years ago, talking about, he said we had a new guy, quarterback. I said, I thought you had like 5. He said, yeah, he said, you never have enough quarterbacks. You just tell them all that they'll play quarterback, and then you can convince them to play otherwise once you get here. He's like, you know.
We were recruiting you at quarterback, and then you get here. It's like, oh.
We still have confidence in your quarterback, but I'm going to need you just for the good of the team now to move here
to the wide receiver. Yep.
Defensive back.
Or even running back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like DB. That. Yeah. That's a good
for
point.
The good of the team, you know, kind of those things. But
Neil, let's segue a little bit here to some baseball. Were you kind of in like a, almost like a pig, like a pig in what's
slop?
That? Pig and slop. Yeah. That's, yeah. I was trying to think of the old term there. Like, were you just literally, like, rolling around thrilled this weekend? Like, did Dee leave you alone so you could watch?
Yeah, she knew. I told her early in the week, Friday night, opening night, zero plans. So, like, 2 weeks ago, she had this thing where she watched Hamilton in the living room, and I went in the bedroom and didn't watch Hamilton.
Right.
I don't remember what I did. Doesn't really matter. So I said, you're welcome to watch baseball with me. But this is what's going to be on TV in the big living room,
right?
Friday night. No other plans. I'm getting Penn Station. I'm going to have it ready to eat and watch the game.
Well, so you could walk to Penn Station, can't you?
I can, but I went to work, worked it off, and then, you know, because I knew, hey,
that's
I'm going to
have
it. That's right. So
that's how that works.
Worked out, then on the way back, picked it up, you know, ordered through the app, the touchless thing. I like that.
Right.
And then zipped home, watched the Cardinals unimpeded. And it was just magnificent. Kind of weird, you know, seeing St. Louis, I've seen ball games with very few fans there, lots of empty seats, but you're not used to seeing St. Louis that way.
Yeah.
So that looked weird. But the announcers, they did a really great job. The crowd noise, I thought, was appropriate. I know it's piped in, but kind of needs to be so you don't hear, you know, MF this and BS that, none of that from all the coaches and the managers that might let one slip. Kind of covers a lot of that up, and it kind of needs to be there, in my opinion. But it was lovely. My wife teaches classes to kids in China through a certain program, does that online. So once she went to do that, put my little earphones in and had the TV piped to my headset, then watched the late games. I think it was maybe Giants and Dodgers, watched some of that. I mean, it was just like old times. Some of those places had cutouts behind the plate. Other places didn't.
Yep.
So, but it was really a blast. Good to have baseball back. I know some things have happened over the last 24 hours that might cause some issues, but it was certainly fun. Had a good time. The players were a lot of fun to watch, and it felt kind of like at least close to getting back to normal.
Well, I will say this, Neil, from a statistics standpoint, I found this to be really interesting. It's the first time since 1954 that no Major League Baseball team has started 3-0.
Year before I was born.
Isn't that crazy?
Know who the world champs were that year, Ed?
54.
I do.
I'm going to say Dodgers. Oh, Atlanta.
No.
What? Cleveland.
Cleveland Indians.
I almost said the Indians,
there
too.
You go. Well, it wouldn't have been Atlanta because Atlanta was Milwaukee.
That's true. They were the Milwaukee Braves. Wait a second. So in 54, was that the last year Cleveland won?
Yes, it was. So since I've been born, they've never won the World Series.
They knew.
It might be me.
It's you.
They've been in it, but they haven't won it.
Yeah. Yeah, because the last time they were in it was against the was it the Marlins?
The Marlins, yes.
Well, and then the Marlins, and then they were in it against the Cubs. Won.
Yeah, yeah, they're in it. They've been in it twice. That was, you know, terrific. Both of those were terrific series, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that I thought they would win was the one against the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
Cubs, I thought this is going to be tough. Get the last game, Chicago might not win that.
And but, the history there, you knew they were just dying but, to just overcome it.
But it was, I've had a lot of good times with the Indians. Mostly over my life, they've been terrible.
They're not terrible right now.
I mean, the last, just to show you how long ago and how old I am, Ed, the last game I saw in Cleveland was Jim Perry pitching for the Indians against Nolan Ryan for the Los Angeles Angels.
Ooh. Well, first of all, the Angels are no longer in Los Angeles.
We didn't have tickets to the game, but my cousin's boyfriend knew somebody and said, I think I can get us good tickets. So he says, I got his second row seats behind third base dugout. Wow. Thinking he pulled some strings, man.
Yeah.
Then you get in there and there's only 2,000 people in the freaking stadium. So it's like, he didn't pull any strings.
He just had cheap tickets.
Yeah. It's like,
couldn't give them away.
Oh, you have some people. Yeah, what time can you guys get here? And we'll delay the start if we need to. Just whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
So
can meet the teams after the
but
game.
But the thing that I heard, I learned this, is Nolan Ryan grunts when he lets the ball go. Well, could hear it
when you're
because you couldn't hear anything else in the, you know.
Well, when you're throwing 103,
yeah. But I wouldn't have heard it at most ballparks because of the, you know, the ambient noise of the ballpark. Here you had nothing.
You definitely hear it.
You hear the rats squeaking out in the bullpen. Other than that, you couldn't hear much.
Because that's how bad the Cleveland Indians were. They had rats in the bullpen. That's hilarious, Neil. Also, I found myself floating away as you were talking. You were like my cousin's boyfriend's. And I just kept thinking of the best scene ever in Ferris Bueller's Day Off when she's like, Bueller.
Yeah.
I heard from my brother's sister's girlfriend who said his cousin saw us passed out at 31 Flavors last night. It sounded pretty serious. Thank you, Simone. Gosh, that's such a great movie.
Oh, it is.
We have digressed. Couple of other housekeeping moments here, Neil. We've got a KHSAA announcement potentially on Tuesday morning. Board of Control meeting. You have to hope that the last Board of Control meeting, as fruitful as it was and as materialistic as it was, that this one, as we get closer and closer to that August 1st moment, which is going to be here by the end of this week, that we've got, you know, some questions to answer as far as what the fall is going to potentially look like. The only thing that we know for certain, golf is a go. Yeah. Now, what golf's going to look like, we still don't know. I've already been told by the Paducah Tillman boys golf coach, Brett Larimer, longtime voice of the Blue Tornado, that the Paducah Tillman Invitational, which has often been one of the catalysts and crucibles of early high school golf in Western Kentucky, it's a no-go, you know, because you've got so many teams that there's too many questions, can't have that many people tee off on the same day because you have to have separated tee times.
Okay.
You know, you don't really know. I mean, that's a golf tournament that not only showcases a lot of Western Kentucky's high school talent, but also brings in some Southern Illinois and Northwest Tennessee. All of a sudden you've got some questions, you know, with COVID kind of some places it's spiking, some places it's falling, you know, and mixing that sometimes can be, you know, what we say sometimes like it's a regular thing, but it has been this year. A lot of questions to be answered, and so the Paducah Tillman Invitational is a no-go, but you're still going to have a lot of dual meets, tri meets, and things like that. I say this because golf seems to be the only sport that's probably going to look somewhat normal right now, at least in the immediacy, and that's what KHSAA has to decide here in 24 hours.
I don't think the decisions will be good tomorrow.
I
because of the elevation in cases, the governor's going to take more steps to do whatever the governor's going to do today. And I just do not believe that that's going to lead to anything close to an on-time start for the fall sports.
I think my guess, what I have told a lot of people from what I'm seeing numbers-wise and from what I'm seeing ruling-wise, you've got Ohio, you've got states that are full go. What I could see Kentucky doing is very similar to what we think possibly could happen at the college level, which we know that the OVC presidents – meet on Wednesday, so it's a big week. Back to high school, I could see doing away with non-district scheduling in all sports. I really could. I hate to say that I wish it wasn't the case, and maybe it isn't. You know, maybe we get some good news tomorrow. I tell you what I've told a lot of people, Neil, and again, I know that fans are important. I know that revenue is important. But, you know, from what I mean, it's a straw poll at best, but from what I know from what high schools are doing right now to make this happen, I would be absolutely fine with senior parents being the only ones allowed in the stands and no one else. Like, your senior families... And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe that's a bit extreme in some regards. I know that specific counties in Western Kentucky aren't enduring this like others are.
Right.
And I know that all high school programs are doing their, you know, their utmost to sanitize, do these temperature checks. They've been doing the the questionnaires are verbatim across the state. They're all the same. 6 questions. What are your symptoms? How do you feel today? You know, what's your temperature? Have you felt bad in the last 48 to 72 hours? So on and so forth. You know, all of our high school football programs, soccer, you know, volleyball in Western Kentucky. And again, I haven't gone to every single program, but I just know what coaches are telling me. I mean, it's hell. There's really not a better way to put it. But they're going through it because they want to have a season. I know specific adults who are complaining about wearing a mask. So, like, I just want to commend, first of all, high school programs for trying to make this happen. And I think personally, if I had a decision or a vote in the matter, I would want that fall sports season to happen in some way. That being said, I think with, you know, you can control the sporting environment remotely. You've got athletic directors, you have some trainers at high schools, you have coaches that are, you know, sanitizing, you've got students that are separating. They've already announced that football, if it's played, is likely going to have a spread out sideline, extra yardage on each side. Mm-hmm. These things are all been put in place to help the kids. And if the kids want to play, they should play. I know, again, Neil, and you may have a point here as well, or a counterpoint. I understand revenue is an issue, and you need fans to come in the gate to make money for your programs. But at the high school level,
it isn't that much money.
It's not.
I know they.
Right.
I mean, it isn't. It's not. If we don't have it, we'll shut the schools down, money. I mean, it just isn't.
Right. College is.
College is in a lot of cases with some of their revenue.
Yeah.
With what they have earmarked. So.
Yeah, and that I understand. At the college level and the professional level, there's a lot more money at stake. At the high school level, yeah, there's some money at stake. I'm not saying there's not concessions. I'm not saying there's not, you know, some gate that's split between the schools and here's a little pony money and, you know, and here we go. But at the high school level, especially in Western Kentucky, the games just kind of need to happen. And here's the deal, Neil. I've already started to think about this. You look at a non-district slate. If you get rid of a non-district slate just in the football realm, that's bye-bye Mayfield-Tillman, bye-bye Mayfield-McCracken, bye-bye McCracken-Tillman. Mm-hmm. You don't need them. They're not district games.
Right.
Are those giant revenue draws? Sure.
Well, they're not going to be this year.
No.
I mean, they're just even not going to be, play, no matter
if you play them. Even if you play them. And I could see this, too. This is another probably option that's probably on the table. I could see 25 to 35% fans and calling it, you know, and yeah. Just having like a completely spread out sideline of every other row.
Football, just based on the events where we've seen, since it's outside and you can, especially a lot of the stadiums, you can really do the social distancing if you work at it. It's a lot easier to control than when you get in gyms with basketball.
Correct. Or volleyball.
And that's where it becomes extremely difficult. That's why I still have a feeling we'll have those sports. I really do. But I'm not sure we'll have them with any or many fans inside.
It's going to look completely different. And I think that's extremely possible.
And I don't believe they'll decide on that tomorrow.
No, I don't either. I don't believe KHSAA will make those announcements. I don't think the OVC will either. You know, this is really kind of a one day at a time type of situation. And you just mentioned it, Neil. I mean, you know, not even 2 hours ago, Major League Baseball announced that 14 players are now positive. Now, some have been quarantined and are in the middle of the recovery process. But, you know, the Miami Marlins are up to 14 players and coaches that have tested positive, and they're on the road right now. Like, this isn't even in Miami. This is them being in Philadelphia. So did they get it, and it now is showing up, or did they get it in Philadelphia? Scientifically, I'm inclined that they probably got it in Miami, and they hit the road. They tested negative while they were at home, and now they're probably positive 2 weeks later.
I saw two studies, and they're studies ongoing. They didn't reach any conclusions, but it might explain some of what we're seeing. Because, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, mask usage has increased. We haven't seen the numbers go down a lot. The two studies that I saw are exploring whether somehow someone gets it or it gets on something and it gets into air conditioning units.
Yep.
Because notice as the heat gets up, normally viruses tamper down. This hasn't, man. It's gone kind of crazy. And I wonder if some of that is from that. You think, oh, I'm indoors, I'm safe, don't have to do anything, get in my house, and it's somehow getting into an air conditioning unit or something like
right.
that. And I don't know. That may have nothing to
do. We don't know.
The studies didn't conclude. It says they're looking into it because they don't know.
You got to study all avenues at this point.
Yeah, and I don't have any issue with them. Let's have a look at it because if there's a way to stop it and that's what's happening, then we need to get in there and figure out a way to stop that. And it may have nothing to do with it. I'm not trying to scare anybody.
Right.
But and neither were they. They're just saying someone came up with the idea. Is that possibly causing it? And they're having a look at it because they're spiking everywhere.
Yeah.
Not everywhere, but I mean, in almost every state, there's pockets of spikes.
Yep.
Including here in Kentucky, Callaway County, the last couple of weeks have seen the most that we've seen case-wise.
Yep.
For sure.
The Pittsburgh Gazette also announced, I believe it's the Post-Gazette, announced this morning, actually, around 8:30, that the largest COVID trial for a vaccine has begun as of this weekend. So that's probably going to be in major cities. I mean, you're not going to get a vaccine here in Podunk, Kentucky. Just not right now, not till much later down the road. But this is also an early start trial. So, you know, those types of things start becoming more available and readily, you know, sent to the public. We'll probably start seeing a lift on several things.
Yeah.
I don't know what any is going to come out with. I can tell you this. Yesterday it was announced that one of Kentucky's top doctors and advisors, she announced basically that bars needed to go back on the close list.
Probably so. The issue with that, you can safely social distance in bars, but people generally don't seem to be doing it.
They just don't choose to.
Yeah. So it, they're not denying it can be done, and it seems they've seemed, at least in a couple of cases that I do know of here in Kentucky, they've linked it, some of the spreads, to bars.
Yep.
Will there be anything on gyms today? I don't know. To my knowledge, they haven't linked anything to do with gyms, but who knows? That could be coming as well. I don't know. But
yeah.
I think they'll tap down restaurant capacity, probably down back to a third is what I'm guessing, instead of 50%.
I'd say so. That's probably right. Other bad news this weekend, Neil. Regis Philbin.
Yeah. And kind of
2020 continues to just be.
He was always on TV. I mean, always. He was on something every week.
Always
had their Regis and whatever the heck that was. Regis and Kathy Lee. That was awesome.
And then Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was what I, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't initially grow up watching early morning television.
Right.
You know, so Regis. That's, you know, I mean, that's where he probably made, you know, most of his, you know, wealth and experience and, you know, notoriety. But I always knew him for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, so I've always been kind of a trivia junkie.
I liked, the wife would watch the show, so I would watch it occasionally if I was ever at home, maybe on vacation or so. The thing I liked about it, he always liked to have a fun time.
Yeah.
And it was always a fun show. They didn't delve much into politics or anything like that. They just wanted you to have a good time. Let's talk about your movie. Let's talk about your book, something like that, or what you've been up to. It was just always a blast, and to me, that's a good way to kind of kick off your morning instead of sort of like that.
Yeah,
sort of like
it wasn't like a news event.
No, I mean, it really wasn't. It was fun.
It had newsy elements. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it was, you know, oh, you're gonna break some news. Oh, you've got a new album coming out, or there's a new movie you're working on. Like that. There were news elements in that regard, but it was mostly entertainment value. And then, of course, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire probably changed the game as far as. You know, I mean, yeah, you always had Jeopardy, but there had never been a million-dollar prize. And to this day, one of the greatest moments in game show television is when John Carpenter calls his dad for the million-dollar question on the Regis Philbin show. Or, you know, basically Regis, yeah. you know, is like, mm-hmm. wait, I'd like to phone my father.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Dad, I just wanted to tell you, I don't need your help. I just won the $1 million. And it's unbelievable because then he literally, like, Regis, my final answer, you know, it's, I think it was Richard Nixon had been right. on the show Drive-In or something like right. that or whatever that show was back in the 50s. And so he just nails it, gets the million. He's like, well, you and your wife are headed to Paris. You just won the $1 million. What a finish. And, you know, it's just like yeah. confetti's everywhere. And it's just like, it is phenomenal because he just steamrolled to the $1 million question. So it's just, you know, Regis was, is a part of history when it comes to television. And, he will greatly be missed. That brings us to a little bit of conclusion to this show, Neil. Look at what all we tackled today.
Lots of stuff. Lots of things.
Anything we missed, Neil? What do you got for us?
I really don't know of anything. We've got baseball. I did see pictures that Matt McMahon, with masks, welcoming basketball players back to campus.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
I don't know if the women's players are back. They may be, may not be. I haven't seen any photos of them, so I don't know.
I think they're...
Have there been a few?
Rochelle announced that it's soon.
Okay.
So I'm pretty right. sure so they're... Coming. I'm pretty sure they're in
and
that
process.
And
they're probably staggering. As we said, football staggered that they don't have everybody rushing in at once. That's a good way to social distance.
Well, and I saw the two photos as well from Murray State football from this past weekend. Clearly, their practices aren't open to the public just yet, but they are also staggering. And they've got their players kind of all spread apart on the in the stadium
right, right.
waiting their turn to get on the field. Yeah. So I mean it's you find a way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that we can reward players and coaches in some way by finding a way. You know, they've been doing the right thing. It's those of us that haven't been, you know, and I'm not even attacking you and I. I mean, you and I are doing the right thing. I'm going
to
mask right
now.
To
be honest, we don't really – we think we know how it's spreading. We don't know how it's spreading.
We don't.
If we knew, then we could say for sure it's your fault, but we really don't know.
Yeah.
If we really knew, then we could say it. We're just guessing.
Yeah, we can't be
– Lots of guessing.
Yeah, we can't be – it is a lot of guessing, and we can't be accusatory. But I will say that some people are doing their part, and I think that's good. And,
yes.
And I hope – that athletics continues to trend in the right direction as we head into the fall. But we're going to learn a lot more in the next 48 hours.
Exactly. So, and, you know, new state stuff coming today, KHSAA, Board of Control tomorrow, OVC Board of Presidents. I promise we may have a two-hour show next week.
We might.
We might not have, but we might have.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's a lot to unpack, and that's if nothing else happens.
Yeah. And actually, the crazy thing about it is we will have the NBA restart on Friday as their bubble continues to balloon in a great way. So,
well, I'm headed off to Missouri and Kansas City. I'm going to have to beat some people up for disliking Parks and Rec. Got to find out who those people are.
All right.
But that's where I'm headed.
Yeah, that's
then on to
like...
Louisiana for the folks at the office.
Okay.
Socially, how do you beat somebody up in socially distance? I don't know how to do that. I don't want to. I don't really know. Got to work on that, I guess.
You could always
I have them punch themselves?
You could flame them on social media.
And plus, you have to realize the last person that I fought was freshman year of high school. I am not really good at it.
Did you win the fight?
He was in my seat. Now, this is a really good reason to punch somebody. He's
right.
in my seat and punched him, and he fell down, and I felt terrible about it.
Oh, so that was...
I haven't punched anybody since.
That's the last
and then you think, what did you do that for? You know, you'd like to go back and punch you. It's like, so someone's in your seat.
That's the
get another seat.
Is that the last
you
punch
idiot.
You ever threw?
It is. My wife always talks about the time I hit her. She had me throw her the remote, and I did toss it. And I was tossing it to the couch to the side and accidentally threw it, and it got like, there's a light, got caught, and it hit her right in the forehead. Oh, that. So it's like, oh my. So that's the only time that she can ever say that I ever hit her, and that was completely, but she said, oh, you can't say you never hit me. Like, that is true. I can't actually say that, but you need to tell the whole story that I wasn't throwing it at you. I was throwing it to you, and that's why I'm not in the big leagues.
That's hilarious.
Not good at remote throwing.
Not good at remote
Not even
throwing.
Remotely. So it's like,
wow. Oh, we're going to end on that one, Neil.
Let's do that.
We will see you guys next week.